We commence with chapter which talks on agreements and contracts. You will recall we had just made a mention. Agreement involves two parties where there is an offer made by one and an acceptance by the other, and therefore an accepted proposal is an agreement. Offer and acceptance together constitutes an agreement. What is a contract? Pollock, an authority on our subject, says every agreement and promise enforceable by law is a contract, and therefore under section 2H of the Indian Contract Act, an agreement enforceable by law is a contract. The basic difference between a contract and an agreement is that a contract involves a legal obligation which is enforceable in a court of law, whereas an agreement may not necessarily involve a legal obligation, and therefore moral, social, domestic areas only constitute an agreement and not a contract. And therefore we always summarize the provisions by saying all agreements are not contracts, but all contracts are agreements. The learning objectives of this chapter talks about agreement and its definition, kinds of agreements, contract and its definition, kinds of contracts, the differentiation between agreement and contract. Agreement, every promise and set of promises forming the consideration for each other is an agreement. Thus, offer and a promise together constitute an agreement. Friends, I would just like to tell you what exactly is the term promise. An accepted proposal constitutes a promise, so that if there are two parties, A and B, where A makes an offer and B accepts this offer, when it becomes a legal tie or a binding obligation, X is called as the promisor and Y is called as the promisee. Now X and Y, when they are entering into this legal tie, it depends on a consideration or a quid pro quo. And therefore, when X and Y are entering into this mutual obligation, it is for a price or a value which is called consideration. As I've already stated earlier, when X sells his car for a sum of rupees 50,000 to Y, X obviously would sell the car only if he receives the money, while Y would pay the price only if he accepts or when he receives the car from X. So the car and the money constitute consideration. And when this becomes mutual and this becomes binding, it is converted obviously into a contract, otherwise plainly remains an agreement. We now look into the various kinds of agreements. A valid agreement, that which is enforceable by law and which has all the ingredients of a valid contract, is also called as a valid agreement. A void agreement. Under section 2G, an agreement which is not enforceable by law, ab initio, is a void agreement. To give you a very simple illustration, an agreement without consideration, an agreement which has a flaw in capacity. A flaw in capacity means the parties have not attained majority, they are of unsound mind, or disqualified from contracting, are all void agreements. An agreement entered by a mutual mistake. You will recall, on the ingredient of free consent, we said consent is not free when two persons do not have a consensus ad idem, that is, identity of minds. A consensus ad idem wherein two people think like-mindedly on the same subject matter is referred to as a consensus ad idem. I go to a restaurant and therefore I order for coffee. The waiter gives me a cup of tea. Here, there is no consensus because there is an error in the base of the subject matter. So, when there is an error on the base of the subject matter, we say there is a mistake, or obviously the very subject matter is void ab initio because there is a bilateral mistake from both the sides. An agreement also becomes void under sections 26 to 30 of the Indian Contract Act, which talks about an agreement in restraint of marriage, in restraint of trade, in restraint of legal proceedings, against public policy, wagering agreements, and any agreement which is impossible to perform. Enforceable agreement. Any kind of a contract under section 2H which is enforceable in a court of law is an enforceable agreement. Voidable agreement. An agreement which is enforceable by law at the option of one or more parties thereto, but not at the option of the other or others, is a voidable agreement. To give you a small illustration, A tells B, if you do not give me this gold ring, I shall shoot you down. A, under this fear, hands over the ring to B. Now, this means B has exercised a physical threat unto A so that A is in a position to avoid the contract, and therefore it becomes a voidable agreement. An agreement also becomes voidable under undue influence, under fraud, or under misrepresentation. As we have already earlier stated, an undue influence means there are two parties. One party is a dominant party, the other is a weaker party. It could be a father versus the son. It could be the employer over the employee. It could be, obviously, a doctor versus the patient. And therefore, one of the parties is in a dominant position and the other is a weaker party. This weaker party seeks to avoid the contract and therefore becomes voidable. Misrepresentation. A tells B, my car, obviously, which I want to sell, is a model of 2015. He has not checked the facts but has no intention to deceive B. Now, this is called misrepresentation, which means a false statement without an intention to deceive the other party is a misrepresentation. On the other hand, fraud. A misrepresentation or a false statement made intentionally with the sole objective of deceiving the other party is a fraud. And therefore, in all these four circumstances, the injured party wants to avoid the agreement. It is called a voidable agreement. Unenforceable agreement. An agreement which is incapable of proof because of a technical defect. As we are aware, in certain legal formalities, for example, in a promissory note or in a bill of exchange, it must always be in writing. Similarly, a memorandum of association, an article of association, or a prospectus. The Companies Act 2013 lays down it shall be in writing and it shall be obviously in registration format, where even as far as a will is concerned, it has to be through two witnesses. Under these circumstances, when the legal formalities are not complied, there is a technical flaw or an error which is called unenforceable agreement. And finally, an illegal agreement. This is one which is against the law. It is void ab initio because it often involves a commission of a crime. So anything which involves a crime or a criminal offense which trespasses any kind of morality, which is against the norms of society, and which has a criminal taint such as a murder or an assault or any kind of theft, is an illegal agreement, and this illegal agreement is not only void ab initio, but all collateral agreements are also rendered void. We now move into contract. An agreement enforceable by law is a contract. It is the creation of an obligation on the part of the parties to an agreement to perform their liabilities, which gives a cause of enforceability of an agreement. Thus, every contract is an agreement, but every agreement is not necessarily a contract. To quote a famous case of Balfour versus Balfour, a husband and wife were living together. The husband had gone to Ceylon on an official assignment. He promised the wife that he would part with pounds 30 as soon as he landed at Ceylon. But when he went there, he forgot to send money. The wife wanted to file a suit against Mr. Balfour. The courts dismissed the same, stating that this is a domestic issue whereby any kind of personal obligations cannot be converted into a contract, and therefore social, moral, domestic obligations are merely agreements and cannot be enforced in a court of law. Valid contract. It has all the essential elements and is enforceable by law. Voidable agreement, like a voidable agreement, is also an agreement which is enforceable by law at the option of one or more parties thereto, but not at the option of the others or others. For example, when one party has not given his free consent, we call it as a voidable contract. Void contract, a contract that ceases to be enforceable by law, becomes void when it ceases to be enforceable. The right expression is a void agreement and not a void contract. Friends, I would like to highlight the difference between a void agreement and a void contract. Void agreement, an agreement not enforceable by law from the very beginning, which we call it as ab initio, is a void agreement. For example, an agreement without consideration, an agreement for incapacity of parties when they are below 18 or of unsound mind or disqualified, an agreement for a mutual mistake, an agreement for an unlawful object where the purpose is illegal or fraudulent, or agreements which are uncertain in nature or impossible are all void agreements. As also, agreements from sections 24 to 30 of the Indian Contract Act are rendered void ab initio. Now coming to what is a void contract. A contract which is valid in the beginning but ceases to be enforceable after it is entered, which means it is valid in the beginning. For example, I obviously have a concert at an auditorium tomorrow. I'm a professional singer and have entered into a contract for giving a musical performance. The manager of the said auditorium has given me an advance token money of a sum of rupees 1 lakh. Unfortunately, tonight, when the performance is for tomorrow, the hall is gutted with fire. This is an unforeseen circumstance beyond the control of the parties and therefore becomes a void contract. So, a contract which is valid in the beginning but ceases to be enforced after it is entered is called as a void contract, and therefore a void agreement is one which is not enforceable from the very beginning, but a void contract is one which is valid in the beginning but ceases to be enforceable after it is entered. Unenforceable contract, a valid contract in law which is incapable of proof and therefore cannot be enforced in a court of law or due to a technical error, is called as an unenforceable contract. Executed contract, when one or both parties have already performed their respective obligations, it is an executed contract. There are two parties, one is a painter and one is a customer. And therefore, the customer has asked the painter, could you just have this portrait painted for me? When the painter finishes his job and the customer pays the money, this is called as an executed contract. executory, when neither party to the contract has performed his share of the obligation, or it is yet to be performed in future. The painter says, I shall paint the picture sometime in 2018. After I paint this picture, you will part with the money, is called as an executory contract where both the parties are yet to perform their respective obligations. Express contract. When the terms of the contract are written or orally agreed upon at the time of the formation, we call it as an express contract. Implied. The terms of the contract are inferred from the conduct or the dealings between the parties. For example, A boards a train. It is implied that he has entered into an implied promise to purchase a ticket. Now here you will find, my friends, the railway company doesn't come here personally to ask the passenger. It is inferred that once he boards the train, it is a contract between the railway company and the passenger that he can avail the services of the railway company only after the purchase of the ticket, and therefore this is an implied contract which is neither oral nor in writing, but which is inferred from the conduct of the parties. Quasi-contract. There are certain relations which resemble those created by a contract, or certain obligations which are not contracts but are so in the contemplation of law. Quasi-contract has its origin with the English common law, which says one person cannot be enriched at the cost of another. For example, A is a trader who goes to B's house. He leaves a bag of sugar at B's residence. B opens the bag. Now here you will find there is no offer, no acceptance. B opens the bag, takes the bag of sugar and prepares a cup of tea at his house. Now friends, here you have seen B has not given the money to A, neither has A entered into any obligation with B. Now it is obviously implied, or it is a construed contract, that B, once you have taken this without money, you will have to replace it back to A, either with a monetary consideration or with the bag of sugar, and therefore this is called as a constructive contract, which the English man also calls it as an implied contract. And therefore these are obligations which are not contracts but are so in the contemplation of law. Quasi-contracts arise out of obligations enjoyed by one person from the voluntary acts of the other, which are not intended to be performed gratuitously. Now what do we mean by this term gratuitously? Means that which is without money or consideration. You will recall that the trader had purchased this bag of sugar to make a sweetmeat or to have a cup of tea at his residence, and had purchased it with his own money. But when he left it at his friend's house, the friend opened the bag, consumed the bag of sugar without any consideration, and therefore then the opposite party uses it and enriches himself at the expense of the trader. It is implied that he has to replace it back with the sugar or with the monetary consideration, is a quasi-contract. Contingent contract. A promise is conditional wherein the contract shall be performed only on the happening of some future uncertain event. Contingent contract. A tells B, I will sell you South cotton provided I get my bag of the textile commodity from, obviously, the train which arrives tomorrow. Provided the train arrives, I shall sell the cotton to you. If it doesn't arrive, I will be unable to sell the same. So therefore, a contingent contract is that which depends on an event or any kind of a contingency which may happen or may not happen. Contracts of record. These are popularly implied or utilized in England, whereby it is called as a recognizance or a court judgment. Whenever we have an accused and he has been told for any kind of a criminal offense, you will have to pay a penalty or therefore you cannot be leaving the jurisdiction of a particular territory unless you pay the penalty is called as a contract of record, which is a court judgment, which is normally utilized in English law, which is called as a recognizance. Speciality contracts, again, very popular under the English scenario. It is a court contract wherein, which is always in writing, signed, sealed and delivered by the parties, and therefore is a contract under seal. So normally under English law, friends, you will find contracts by corporations, any contracts, obviously even without consideration, are under seal, which are considered valid under the English law. Simple contract. We in India follow this, wherein we have offer, acceptance, consideration, which need not be necessarily under seal. Contracts of record, speciality and simple are, as I've already told you, very popular under the English law. Indian law does not recognize contracts without consideration because we are very particular about three fundamental ingredients, namely offer, acceptance, consideration, capacity and free consent of the parties. Now moving to the distinction or the differentiation between an agreement and a contract. Offer and acceptance together constitutes an agreement. Agreement and enforceability in a court of law together constitutes a contract. Every promise and set of promises forming the consideration for each other is an agreement. A contract is an agreement enforceable by law. It may not create any legal obligation, as I've already mentioned. Social, domestic, personal agreements are not contracts. A contract necessarily creates a legal obligation, and therefore only all contracts are agreements, but all agreements are not contracts. An agreement is a wider concept. Why do we call this as a wider concept? Because there are various kinds of agreements wherein, which are moral, social, domestic, personal, which are included in agreements. A specie, that means it is only a part of an agreement, because only legal agreements which have a legal tie or a binding obligation between the parties is called as a contract. Agreement, not necessarily concluding and a binding contract. Contract, as we are aware, friends, is a concluding and a binding contract. Thank you very much, my dear friends. I'm sure you have understood the basic concepts of agreements and contracts. Thank you.